800,000, whatever it is. It's unbelievable. I couldn't believe it myself. And it was the subject of articles all over the internet. I don't mean little blogs. I mean big internet sites. And it was the subject of an entire column in today's New York Times. This was the tweet. The news media in the West pose a far greater threat, far greater danger to Western civilization than Russia does. Again, the news media in the West pose a far greater danger to Western civilization than Russia does. I never send out stuff, I never write stuff to be provocative. I admit that some of it is, but I never have that as an intent. People said, oh, well, maybe he was being, you know, hyperbolic to make a point. Nope, I literally believe what I wrote. I would never have sent out something to so many people if I didn't fully believe it. So I read all these attacks on me, not the usual ones cursing me out, or that I'm, some guy wrote, I wipe off SH from the bottom of my shoes that are better than this guy, or something like that. It was deep. The thing that about that, though, that got me, because this stuff doesn't bother me, by the way. In fact, the lower the response, the lower level the response, the more I think I'm right. Because if these are the people who think I'm wrong, I probably am right. So they should know that just writing F you, or you're a piece of this or a piece of that, just reinforces my belief that I'm probably right. I don't know for certain that I am, but I believe that. But other than those types of reactions, what most got me was that people didn't understand what I wrote. Typical reaction. And this even came, to my great sadness, from a number of conservative writers, was, what is Prager talking about? How many nukes does the Western media have? And I was thinking, they gotta be kidding. When I say a danger to a civilization, is the only way you endanger a civilization is if you have nuclear weapons? Anyway, civilizations are threatened by ideas. People are threatened by weapons. That's why I wrote civilization. I didn't write people in the West are more threatened by the media. Obviously, that would be absurd. I know Putin can blow us up. I've known this before Putin was the head. My field of study was Soviet Union. I speak Russian. I know what they could do. But it's such a bizarre reaction. Of course they have weapons, and the media doesn't have weapons. That's why I wrote civilization. Civilizations are endangered by ideas. Western media do not care for Western civilization as a rule, because they're on the left, and the left is not interested in Western civilization, which it regards as sexist, intolerant, xenophobic, homophobic, Islamophobic, racist, and bigoted. And the proof was, President Trump gave a speech in Warsaw a couple of weeks ago in which he said the Western civilization needs to defend itself. It needs to prosper. It needs to survive. And every left-wing media source, which means almost every media source in the Western world, said all he was saying is we have to protect white racist supremacists. In other words, Western civilization and racial supremacy are identical. That's what the media believe. They wrote it. I didn't make this up. I was shocked. So obviously, they don't care for the survival of Western civilization. The only regret I had, I went on Fox and Friends and I wrote my first column after the tweet, with National Review and Town Hall and other places, and I explained what this means about rejecting Western civilization. And my only regret I wrote was I didn't include the universities. I should have said, Western universities and media pose a greater danger to, excuse me, to the to Western civilization than does Russia. I was just reading on my radio show today an article about the London University of London, one of the most prestigious universities in the UK, is removing almost all of the busts, you know, the sculptures of the greatest minds that it has at its Institute of Psychiatry, Psychology, and Neuroscience. And you know why? Because they're all bearded white men. You understand, Western civilization is not based on color. It is based on excellence. If you wrote the best music, painted the greatest paintings, wrote the greatest philosophy, wrote the best plays, that's all that matters. We don't care if you're white or black or green or yellow. All we care is what is the best. Well, the founders of this place were all white men. So obviously that's who will be up there. But now they want to call it diversity row. The concept of diversity is the antithesis of excellence, and therefore the antithesis of Western civilization. Why? Because it says we judge people by their race and ethnicity, not by their excellence. That's what it means. When you say diversity trumps excellence, that's what you are saying. That's the end of Western civilization. It's based on who wrote the best. It doesn't matter what their color. The greatest composers, I know music really well. I will be conducting at one of the most prestigious concert halls in the world in a few weeks. So I've conducted many years. It's my avocation, if you will, and I will be conducting. So I know music pretty well. The greatest composers were overwhelmingly German/Austrian. Okay? That's a fact. Am I pro-German for saying that? Isn't that idiocy? No, I'm pro-music. The New York Times music critic a few years ago wrote the greatest column, the greatest 10 composers. And he omitted some of the greatest names, and he said, I'll tell you why, I didn't want to have all Germans and Austrians. So it's not a list of the 10 greatest composers, it's a list of 10 diverse, nationally diverse. He had to have a Frenchman in there, he had to have a Russian in there, he had to have a Hungarian in there. Okay, but nobody in his right mind thinks that Bartok is a greater composer than Handel. But Handel wasn't in there, and Bartok was. This is what's happened. So, of course, this is a threat to Western civilization. If a big chunk of your media and universities don't believe in the West, they think that it is just a source of oppression to humanity, colonialism, etc., then obviously to say they're a threat to the West, it should elicit a yawn, not an angry column in the New York Times against me. On the one hand, they constantly speak about how the West is racist and oppressive and sexist and all of the other things. Then if you say, you know what, gee, you guys are against the West, then they yell at you. It's like all I'm doing is putting up a mirror. It's just a mirror to the media and to academia. So a whole column today in the New York Times against me, by a guy I like very much who's done Prager University videos, Brett Stephens. But he didn't like the column. And he and I will be doing a New York Times Facebook exchange. So you'll be able to see us debate, you know, I guess live. Well, that's been the highlight. Betting attack. By the way, let me be personal for a moment. People ask me all the time, because they read all these attacks on me, so does it bother you? It's a totally logical question to ask. So let me tell you something that'll be helpful to every one of you, whatever your age. I decided very, very early in life, because I became public very early. I started publicly lecturing at the age of 21 when I came home from the Soviet Union. And I lectured on what is happening in the Soviet Union to Jews and dissidents. So I realized at a very early age that here's the way it works. If you let compliments go to your head, then the insults will go to your heart. So don't let the compliments go to your head, and then you won't have the insults go to your heart. Compliments are beautiful things. I'm deeply, deeply, deeply appreciative of them. But they've never gone to my head. I'm a pretty balanced guy. And likewise with the insults. They don't hurt my heart. If people I loved started saying bad things about me, then I would feel bad, that I admit. But not if it's on the internet. Anyway, just a thought. But we are in a battle for Western civilization. See, let me explain what opposes it. I explained diversity. Multiculturalism. The concept is anti-Western. It says all cultures are equal, but they're not. All humans are equal, but not all cultures. I mean, just to take an extreme example, was Nazi culture equal to non-Nazi culture in the West? Of course not. So what happened to multiculturalism? Even the multiculturalist has to make a moral judgment. Civilization A and civilization B are not morally equivalent. But they can't say that. That's the reason they want open borders. Hillary Clinton was for open borders. Remember that? When it was one of the lines she said it and didn't know she was being recorded. So why are they for open borders? One moment, please. My joy. They are for open borders because why would you have borders if you have no civilization to protect? If everybody comes from the same wonderful culture or bad culture as we do, then there's nothing to protect. Correct? Correct. And that's why Europe is ceasing to be Western culture. It is ceasing to be Europe. It has let in millions of people, most of whom do not share their values, but they don't care because they're multiculturalists. Multiculturalism is antithetical to Western civilization. Okay? Is that good, guys? We can go on to questions. Yep. Emmy. EMI, is that a male or a female? Or are you not allowed to ask that anymore? I ask it. I actually do divide the world between male and female. So does biology. That doesn't mean that if you identify with the other sex that I'm going to be harsh or anything like that. That's your business. But the world is male and female. Emmy from Phoenix asks, Dennis, being constantly immersed in the news and politics, how are you not perpetually angry? That's a great question. Well, let me try to answer that. For one thing, it's so hard a question because I should be perpetually angry. That is true. And when I think about it, I am angry at the people tearing down the West, tearing down America. I'm very angry because it's very hard to make a good civilization, and it's very easy to tear it down. Just remember that. The left is awesome at tearing down. And like the university. The university is being torn down. So I am perpetually angry in that sense, but I don't act it, and I don't let it take me over. I'm very mind-centered. That's why I wrote a book on happiness. You have to be mind-centered. But I am certainly intellectually angry, rationally angry. Yes, I am. And that's why I fight a lot. But I don't have an angry temperament. I'm actually happy. Which, by the way, most of the time, that's what you have in a left-right difference. Every poll says that people right of center are happier than people left of center. And it's true. It's part of the reason people, why do people demonstrate so much more violently on the left than on the right? When was the last time a bridge was closed by conservatives? I don't know. My suspicion is never. When was the last time a bridge was closed by a left-wing demonstration? Last week? Now, why is that? We think as passionately about our subjects as they do about theirs. Why don't we close bridges? Why don't we take over university administrators' offices? How come conservative kids never do that at a university? Why? How come it's always their side? That's a very important question, because they're less happy. They're angrier. They're angry. And they're angry in part because they're children. And life is more complex than they can handle. That's why they go to safe spaces. Are there conservative safe spaces? There ought to be. To be a conservative on an American campus is a lot harder than to be on the left. Why don't we have safe spaces? Because we're grown up. Grown-ups, no, you don't get safe spaces in life. They're children. So there's somebody coming to the campus I don't agree with. Ooh, give me a stuffed animal to play with. That's what they do. They're not even embarrassed. That's what's so amazing. They're not embarrassed. So anyway, it's a long answer to a very important question. But no, I'm a happy guy. Haven. Haven. Is that a male or female?
It's a guy.
Because you know him?
Shows the picture on Facebook.
Oh, shows a picture? You're judging on the basis of a picture? You heterosexist, normative, cisgendered bigot. Haven, a Prager Force member from Lucas, Michigan. Ah, Lucas, Michigan. I left my heart in Lucas, Michigan. That was the original, but nobody ever heard of it, so he used San Francisco. Dennis, why do you think churches and also synagogues are struggling to attract young people? Oh, God. You guys are asking great. Any one of these is worth an entire fireside chat. Because a lot of reasons. No order of importance. Number one, young people have been raised by anti-religious teachers. Not just atheists or secularists, but people who have contempt for religion, especially for Christianity, which is the dominant religion in the Western world. So if Christianity fails, the West will fail. And I'm a Jew saying this, okay? I don't have any axe to grind. But that's reason number one. They have been truly indoctrinated to believe that religion is for idiots and bigots, at best. That's, for example, I'll bet you any one of you under 90 learned at school. If you're over 90, you may not have. Under 90, you learned more people have been killed in the name of God than any other thing. Now, it's not true, but hey, it sounds good. Really, 20th century killed more innocents than any other century in history, than any five centuries combined, probably than any 10 centuries combined, and it was done by anti-religious secular regimes, Nazi and communist, and in Japan, fascist. Okay? Does that count? No, apparently it doesn't count. The 20th century alone had secular ideas. Communism is anti-religious, secular. Nazi was, it was not based on religion, but, and it was ultimately anti, certainly obviously Judaism, but even Christianity, because after all, Christ was a Jew, which makes it pretty bad. You know, so they try to rewrite history and say, oh, they really said this. No, he wasn't a Jew. He was an Aryan. It's like the Palestinians say that Jesus was not a Jew. He was a Palestinian. It's mind-boggling, but you can rewrite history if you control the textbooks. So that's one reason, has been the anti-religious education people get. If you're sophisticated, you don't believe in God. That's the message that's been given. Number two, I blame the religions. Too much of Judaism and Christianity organized in their synagogues and churches, respectively, have not been faithful to their religious roots. They have taken up the cause of left-wing ideologies. So you go to a normative Protestant church, mainstream Protestant church, go to a non-Orthodox synagogue, and you are likely to hear a sermon about there is really no gender, and certainly about global warming and about other things that are important to the left. So what do you need to go to church or synagogue for? You could hear all that watching CNN. Why bother going to church or synagogue? But it's a big lacuna in your life, a big hole, if you don't have good religion. It's a big hole. You're kidding me. Instagram user, haha, Fruit Loops, haha. Oh, I know haha, Fruit Loops, haha. It's a great person. Writing from Canada asks, is that how they do it on Instagram? You don't have a real name?
If they don't type out what their name is, you yeah. only see their username.
Anyway, by the way, I like this. It's not dirty, it's not mean, right? It's like a sweet thing. I may adopt it. Hi, this is Haha Fruit Loops Haha. Welcome to my home. Writing from Canada asks, what's the matter? The Canadians don't think that we know cities in Canada? It's from Canada. What kind of nonsense is that? I not only know cities in Canada, I know all 10 provinces. I visited 9. So if you're Canadian, tell me where you're from. Dennis, how do I come out as a conservative to my socialist parents? Too bad you're not gay. That would be easy. You're stuck. Conservative. I think it's easier to come out gay to conservative parents than to come out conservative to socialist parents. It's like a guy many years ago called my radio show, way before same-sex marriage or anything like that. He said, Dennis, I just want you to know I'm a conservative in Hollywood, and I've come out, and I'm a gay, and I've come out as a gay, and it's a non-issue, but I'll never come out as a Republican. Just so, how do you come out as a conservative to your socialist parents? Tell them you love them. Really, I'm not joking. You say, I love you, Mom and Dad, and however, for any number of reasons, is it conservative? Is that what he said? Conservative? Yeah. This is the way I now see things. I'm totally open to talking to you about it. And I certainly, all I wanted is a loving home forever with you. You're my parents. You got to couch it just as the other way around. I tell parents if their kid is gay, the first thing you tell them is I love you. And so you'd say to the parents here, just want you to know I love you. It has nothing to do with you. I'm not rejecting you. So couch it in warm ways. But and by the way, you don't have to bring it up all the time. I mean, if you have a very, very close bond, you may feel that you have to even say this. I'm not sure you even have to mention it. I don't see why. It's almost like gratuitous pain. They're not going to convert, and you're not trying to convert them. So I'm not sure you need to tell them. Anyway, they'll figure it out because you'll probably be happy. And at a given point, they'll say, why is our son so happy? You know, he's probably conservative. Helen asks, Dennis, before you began your public speaking career, what are some normal person jobs that you had growing up? I love that. I love it because my wife is sitting here, who should really do one of these. But it might cause a heart attack, and I love her too much. But I'm laughing because she doesn't consider this a real job. That's why I'm laughing. But she's, it's just snooty on her part. I was a camp waiter. Now, she was a waitress in a real restaurant, and she doesn't think that what I did is one-tenth as difficult as what she did. She's 100% right. I agree. It was a blast. I had the greatest time being a camp waiter, and I loved it. I carried meals on trays. Remember trays? I mean, that's really old-fashioned stuff. I loved it. And what else did I do? Oh, yeah. I did a lot of things. The following, however, is not a normal person type job. It's a moron job. I, on two occasions, because I'm so tall, you can't tell because I'm sitting, I'm 6'4", and I was very tall even in high school. On two occasions, this was my job. I held the lights up for the video man at a bar mitzvah. You must understand, it takes no intelligence to do this. None. But all I had to do was hold the lights. And I did. And I got paid. I figured, I love being paid. What else did I do? Oh, yes, I taught Hebrew school for years. You'll love this. Hebrew school is like Sunday school for Christians. It's after school for Jewish kids, and they all hate it. They don't want to be there. And I knew this. So I went in the first day every year, and I made this following announcement. All right, kids, let me tell you something. I was little. I was only like 5 years older than they were. They were 15. I was like 20, 21, 22. So I'd say, listen, I know you don't want to be here, and I have too much dignity for you to be here just because you have to. So guess what? You don't have to. I have to be so interesting that I earn your attendance. This was like saying, hello, I just arrived from Venus, and I'd like to say something. They couldn't believe what they heard. The teacher, has to earn their interest? Yep, that's what I said. So you have to pass the test at the end, but you don't have to show up to any of my classes. And you understand, they all showed up because I made it interesting. I made it interesting because I wanted them to be interested. Would that everyone who speaks publicly think the same way? What other job? I taught at college, taught at Brooklyn College for 2 or 3 years. I taught Russian and Jewish history. And I loved it. I love teaching. I think of myself as a teacher now. What I'm doing now is teaching. I think of on the radio, I'm a teacher. What else did I do? I never got played to play accordion for good reason. They usually paid me not to, so that doesn't count. Other than that, I didn't have many normal type jobs. I was very lucky. I began speaking at a very early age. So I never had a normal 9-to-5 job in that sense. Guy from Herzliya, Israel. Manishma Guy. Dennis, what's the difference between a conservative and a classical liberal? Well, I've often commented on this, but I could probably say this every week and it would still be worth it. What you do is you take issue by issue and you will see. For example, liberal, even by definition, means open-minded. Leftists are not open-minded. Liberals are open-minded. So when speakers are shut down, there are people who don't even want to allow me to conduct an orchestra because I'm a conservative. Yeah, you could find it on the internet somewhere. It's amazing. I don't even say, all I'm doing is waving my hands to the right beat and telling what instruments to come in. Even that, I'm conservative, I should not be allowed to do that. The leftism is the antithesis of liberalism. Conservatives are much, much closer to liberalism than leftists are. There is nothing liberal about leftists. Nothing. Open-minded is one example. Race is another. The liberal attitude is race means nothing. Character means everything. But to the left, race means everything. It's on every issue, left and liberal are opposed. If liberals don't understand this, that means they've already imbibed leftism into their thinking. You're in Israel, I'll give you another example. Liberals were the most pro-Israel Americans that we ever had in our country. And they remain profoundly pro-Israel. The left hates Israel. Even the Jewish left hates Israel. Oh, they'll say, we don't hate Israel. We hate Israel as an occupying colonial power. Okay, my case rests. How did it get to be an occupying power? Because of colonialism? Well, because they won a war in which their opponents tried to annihilate them. Ben from Brisbane, Australia asks, Dennis, why did you start PragerU? So that I would have viewers in Brisbane. Now, actually, there's a little truth to that. You asked why? Because it drove me crazy that people were only hearing and learning the destructive nonsense that pervades our universities. And to get the finest thinkers, including many professors, to give the best they can in 5 minutes to show that there is a more accurate way of understanding the world, this was the reason. And to think that we are approaching 500 million views is
per year.
Yes, thank you, per year. If somebody had said to me 5 years ago when we started this that you will have, Dennis, you're going to have over 1 million views a year, I would have said, oh, please. From your mouth to God's ears. 500 million? And the single biggest sliver is under 35 years of age? Alan Estrin, the man whose idea it was to start this, was just telling me just today, he's in Minneapolis, and he was having dinner with some folks who help Prager University exist because they're big donors. So it was, Dennis, had I scripted it, it couldn't have been better. The 20-year-old waitress walks over and sees some PragerU material. And she says, are you affiliated with PragerU? So Alan says, yes. Oh my God, I watch every one of your videos. Thank you. And this is, if the donors think Alan put this woman up to it, I would totally understand it. But that's what happens. I'm so grateful because we try to put out very, very sophisticated stuff. There's no anger. There's no hatred. There's no name calling. It's just essentially facts. That's why we're never challenged on facts. Never. I read all the attacks. Well, not all, but a lot. And it's just, right wing, just right wing. But that's not enough. Tell me where we're wrong. I know for you and your friends, saying right wing dismisses anything you differ with. But what did we get wrong? So that's why we founded it. All right, a couple of more questions. Instagram user Almog Chaim asks, Dennis, why do you want to lower taxes when they help build roads, schools, hospital, etc.? Because the bigger the government, the smaller the citizen. The bigger the government, the more the corruption. The bigger the government, the worse the economy. And ultimately, you're going to run out of money. That's why. This is Margaret Thatcher. Socialism, what is it? Her great line? Socialism is when, or something to the effect, socialism ends when you run out of other people's money. That's right. How much money can you keep taking? It doesn't work, that's why. You bankrupt society, ultimately. Look at the Laffer Curve video at PragerU, and it shows you that at a certain point of taxation, the government actually gets less money, which makes perfect sense. If you taxed 100%, would the government get more or less money? Okay. If you taxed 0%, it wouldn't be good. If you taxed 100%. So somewhere between them is the right point for the most revenue. It's about 28%. Okay. And by the way, hospitals, you know how many hospitals were built by Christians and Jews? What big city doesn't have a Beth Israel or a St. Mary's, right? Or a Presbyterian hospital? That's who built most of the great hospitals in the country, not the government. Jack asks, Dennis, what are your thoughts on the libertarian movement? The libertarian movement has great, great thinkers who are critics of big government, and I use them. We have them on PragerU videos. But I don't want to see the Libertarian Party as a party. All it does is take away votes from Republicans, and thereby enables the left to win elections. They should be there as a libertarian should be there as a think tank, a big think tank, to give us great ideas. And on foreign policy, I tend not to agree with them as well, but that's a separate issue. And finally, Jim asks, Dennis, if you had a few minutes to speak with a male college graduate, what's some advice you'd give him? Get married. You'll be a better man. That's what I'd begin with. So, folks, great to be with you. Hope to be with you next week. And until then, thank you, and help PragerU if you can, because we're doing a lot of good work. So long for now.
All right, we're good.
You left just when I was trying to find the Margaret Thatcher line.
David called me. I had no choice.
Oh, David. You could ignore David. What did he want?
Oh, he just wanted to talk to me about some logistics.
It wasn't popped up since the queries.
Another great one.
Which one?
How do I turn this off?
When it runs out of money, I didn't remember.
The problem with socialism is that sooner or later you run out of money.
Yeah, all right. I paraphrased it, but I didn't know it.
I don't know if that's what you wanted or not, but great.
The problem with socialism.
And we did get some shots of.
Did you?
Yeah. Whenever he did his little acrobatic stretches,
He's a star.
Yes, and the beauty is it does not go to his head. That's very impressive. We raise humble dogs.
Monday title, the Carol Swain video. Have you watched it yet, the video?
Oh, okay, let me take
this. Yes, we did. We loved it.
Yellow.
Dennis, it's Christine. How you doing?
Well, did you get my message?
I sure did, and I'm just calling to thank you. You know, I owe you so much gratitude and thanks, not only for the nice things that you said about my daughter, but also for taking the time to meet with her. I really appreciate it.
So let me be totally honest. I met with her as a favor to you and Roger, because I owe you so much, and now I'm going to meet with her for the rest of my life, having nothing to do with you. Maybe. It's up to her. I'm not joking. Yeah. I said to her, I want to be in your life the rest of my life. I actually said that to her.
Look, I'm just bowled over by what you're telling me, and I'm of course thrilled about that.
She is just so special. I'm telling you, I got the chills listening to her. She's just. This is a precious, precious human being, heart, mind. I just hope I can have some, you know, positive ideas for her, which I think I did. But within 5 minutes, I was thrilled that I was with her.
I can't tell you how much gratitude I feel and how happy what you have to say makes me feel. Because,
well, I can imagine. You know, you're a parent. How could it not? I fully understand.
Yeah. So thank you. I want to thank you all around for everything, for,
yes, well,
you know, for taking the time to talk to her and wanting her in your life. Thank you.
Yes, the first one is a thank you. The rest is selfish. Now I just want her in my life. So the rest, there are no more thank yous, do me.